If the NSA is listening, we can at least be entertaining. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
But the president's rhetoric about a public servant doing a job.
Are you kidding? The president's rhetoric matches. They are literally, the media and Democrats have called the president an agent of a foreign government. But that is an accusation equal to treason, which is punishable by death in this country. I think Democrats and the liberal media owe the president and they owe the American people an apology. They wasted 2 years and created a massive disruption and distraction from things that people that impact everyone's day-to-day life. I mean, let's not forget, this took place under the Obama administration. You had people like Clapper and Brennan lying to Congress to perpetuate this idea of Russia collusion against the president of the United States. And they tried to tie the president of the United States to it, which was completely false and completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. Kate Daly Show at your service. And I've got the great Susan Reeve with me. We're going to jump down the rabbit hole, but kind of behind the scenes kind of stuff for the next few minutes and talk about some stories that aren't hitting the news that I always find kind of intriguing, don't you? So I welcome you and your calls in this hour, especially after the next break. I will be taking your calls. And I got to have a laugh with you. There's some things I want to bring up in this hour that are funny. And I think we all need a laugh. I think we all need to I don't know what it is right now. I mean, this has been kind of an interesting week, but it's also been kind of, it's been a little refreshing. It's weird. It's all at the same time. And Melissa and I were just talking about that. Welcome, Susan.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so happy
to talk about the crazy week.
Yes, it has been a crazy week so far. And I'm always like, what's next? Let's talk about, there's a lot of people that aren't talked about. And what I kind of find interesting right now is all of a sudden, the Virginia governor, no one's talking about him.
Right.
But there's also good people that were caught up in this crazy mix of Russiagate and this huge Russia hoax. And their lives were, essentially they tried to ruin their lives. And Michael Flynn is one of them who I feel so bad for him because I actually feel like he really is a patriot. I mean, we're talking patriot of the United States. I mean, he really wants what's best for America. And I've had that feeling about him all along. Have you?
I really have. And so many people that I like also like him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those people that I've read for years, Michael Ledeen, and he's written 35 books on the Middle East, Iraq, terrorism, mm-hmm. national security, and the man is brilliant. And he said make no mistake, he's got an article out, make no mistake, the Mueller investigation was about Michael Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is so intriguing. If you Google that article, and what it was about, he believes, is that Michael Flynn became the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency under Obama, actually, in 2012 until 2014. And he realized when he was in Afghanistan and Iraq that intelligence was having to go from the battlefield all the way back to D.C. and then back to the battlefield. And
mm-hmm.
he said, wait a minute, why don't we just do it so we have real-time information and we can make quicker decisions. And so he was trying to be a reformer. And he really started shaking things up when he became the director. And one of the things he said, so that really ruffled a lot of feathers to try and change that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things he did was he said, we fund operations. And then a lot of times those operations get canceled. What is happening to that money? We need to do an audit. Well, that is when he was essentially forced out from a 33-year career in the military,
mm-hmm.
extremely honorable, extremely well-respected, and he was forced out. And doesn't that make sense to you that once it becomes about the money, where did the money go,
mm-hmm.
who was that all of a sudden the people asking the questions are outed?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He then worked for the Trump campaign,
mm-hmm.
As in the national security component, and he was only in there for 24 days, which was the shortest in the office's history, which is kind of funny.
Right.
But what they did was they targeted him, and they
mm-hmm.
just said, we're gonna oust him, and they found this little tidbit of him talking to some Russian, but he was in the transition team, and they based it on the FBI attorneys who showed up. McCabe was one of them, and you know what he is, a scoundrel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said he lied. And so basically, once you're in the mall of the government,
mm-hmm.
Flynn was sophisticated enough to know, I better plead guilty. They're going to destroy me. They tried to charge his son, and he says, okay, I'll plead guilty to one felony charge. And notice, he has not been sentenced. His sentencing keeps getting delayed and delayed, and they said, well, he's cooperating mm-hmm. with other investigations. What are those other investigations? So all this is kind of going on behind the scenes of the whole Russia thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Ledeen says, and I love this analysis, he said that the corrupt people in the DOJ and FBI were so successful at outing Michael Flynn, they said, let's go ahead and play the same run with Trump.
Yeah,
we'll run the same kind of operation and get Trump out. And
yep.
that's what they did. And it was in a sequence of events. So it's always about that money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Flynn stood up to Obama and said, we're mishandling Syria. You're letting these terrorist groups proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Obama didn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you put all that together, the audit, you know, as soon as you start saying the word audit, everybody freaks out.
That is so true. It's the one
and
thing they don't
there's,
want.
There's good reason for that.
Oh, absolutely. And, I agree with you. Let's talk ICE. And I totally agree with you on Flynn, by the way. And it could be very much about that. And I love the synopsis on that. And what about ICE?
Well, ICE, the Justice Department, just put out an announcement that they arrested 61 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in coordination with a number of law enforcement on the border. In the border, the DEA, the FBI. And they called this Operation Sabo mm-hmm. Tor, and it's funny because okay. Tor is what they targeted. So Tor is it's a browser, it's an operating system,
mm-hmm.
and it's the dark web. And if you go into the dark web, everything is out there, and it's not organized like the regular web.
Sure.
And people were trafficking in these hardcore drugs, the fentanyl and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So they said they got millions of dollars in cash and thousands of pounds of drugs and firearms, and they conducted 122 interviews. And so this was a huge, huge operation involving like seven different agencies. And thank goodness that they're on this. And so you wonder, including ICE. So ICE was also part of this because the delivery system and everything was kind of going over the border
mm-hmm.
as well as the mail. So when people say, let's get rid of ICE, this massive operation would not have been happening
right.
Because ICE was such a critical part of it. So
it's true.
That's, you know, we're making
yep.
huge progress.
And no wonder there's so many people that want to go so slow on that wall at a snail's pace. Like I said yesterday, $1 billion for 57 miles, that should pay for about 425 miles of wall to stop these illegal things coming over. And there's a reason why they just that those in elected office in your Congress, in Senate, and all of the bureaucrats under them want to slow that process. They want to appear like they're going to build, they're doing it, but they're going very, very slow because they like the profit
rings.
We
can't get a straight story. Like,
yeah.
Where is it being built? Is it just old fencing
right.
being replaced? Which is fine with me. Because
right, right.
Sometimes they say, oh, it's not mm-hmm. it's not a new wall. It's just the old wall being replaced. Okay.
Yep.
That's
so true.
That's okay.
But there's always a reason why they do it the way they do it. And that's why I said yesterday, be aware of the games being played. Because we can say, and Trump wants the wall. I actually really think he does want the wall. He promised it. He
yeah.
knows why we need it. But there's a lot of people that work under him there's just so many hands in this that don't
yes.
want that done. And then talk
right.
to me about women travelers.
This is such an interesting article, actually, in the New York Times. It's called Adventurous, Alone, and Attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been several articles, including in Women's Runners Magazine, saying, you know, women out alone who are traveling, and women traveling alone is up by huge, huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is that it says, and here's an interesting quote, Mm-hmm. It said solo travel was once seen as brave and risky for female travelers. Mm-hmm. But a shift of attitude has meant that it's now an adventurous, exciting experience that allows them to feel free with no one else to worry about or please. So the marketers have kind of gotten hold of this mm-hmm. and packaged it differently, but the risks are the same. And so you've had these women, young women in Morocco, two women who were murdered, their mm-hmm. throats slit. They went off with a group of men who were camping. Another woman in Bolivia who was traveling on bicycle mm-hmm. and she was pulled out of her tent at night. And I always say, how is it that you can protect yourself at night alone in a tent? You're asleep.
Yeah.
And so they, because they want to see themselves as powerful, mm-hmm. then they say, I should be able to do this. And one woman from the UN Women's Group says that these the root cause of this kind of violence against women in public and communities has a lot to do with underlying gender stereotypes, social norms, entitlement, and patriarchy. Well, nothing's really changed.
Right.
You have people out there, especially men, and my husband always says this to me, that any man can, this is generalized, mm-hmm. any man can overpower any woman. The muscle mm-hmm. mass, even in the same size person,
yep.
is completely different. We are at such a disadvantage. And
right.
to not appreciate that mm-hmm. is being completely yeah. naive.
Unless you're and a diehard metrosexual. You're pretty much yes. not going to. So go ahead. Go ahead. You have about a minute.
No. So that even that any woman meeting a man or mm-hmm. in public or traveling cannot always ascertain by looking at a person what this person's capable of. They can be completely civilized. But in their private life, what have they given themselves permission to do? And mm-hmm. that can be some pretty primitive behaviors. And so when people say, oh, he seemed really nice and he was super helpful, you have no way of knowing who this person really is.
It's so
and
true.
So until human nature changes,
uh-huh. yeah.
we're pretty much stuck with the yeah. same scenario that existed before.
Well,
travel is mm-hmm. risky.
Feminism does not give us does not give these women out there. Don't say me, you know, not me because I'm not a feminist. But these, I'm an anti-feminist. But these feminist women out there, this invisible shield that they think is there. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
The rules of nature still apply, which is that nature weighs more heavily on women. And so not to take that into consideration and to be a solo person.
Yeah. It's so
travel
true.
Is so risky. Thank you.
Susan Reeve, thank you very much. Appreciate you. That was awesome. Be right back. Loved it. Be right back. And I've got so much more. Stay with me. I'll take your calls. 888-673-1450. I'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Oh, you know I'm going to take your calls. And of course, welcome you. I love that song. I'll take the first caller. Sure. We're not even out of the gate yet, but yeah, why not? Hi, caller. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. How are you? You're live.
Yeah, I believe another reason this may have happened was because just like, you know, police sometimes will take somebody they know to be innocent mm-hmm. and interrogate them in such a way so that they will mm-hmm. claim that they're guilty of a crime.
Yeah,
they kind of tried to do the mm-hmm. same thing with the president.
Yep, yep. And at a 98% success rate, you know, they did everything they could and had every ball in their court to do it. And still,
it's the FBI. They're the kings at doing this kind mm-hmm. of thing. They are the people who dreamt it up, and they are the experts at it.
I totally agree with you. It is. You know, the fact that they had to concede that nothing happened. The fact that they had to come out with that, I know that must have hurt because I know that they sincerely knew that they could put anything on him. They could have made up charges just like they did with all these other people, just like with Michael Flynn. That whole thing was made up and they knew it. And they had it stick. So the fact that you couldn't get anything to stick, you know, a while back I said, you know, were there agreements made at the funeral of George Bush? I don't know. But man, it is kind of interesting how this all played out. And he was innocent. So Trump was innocent of this. There's no doubt. So
Well, I just like that he had the fortitude to say, no, I'm going to see this to the end.
Yep.
You know, he didn't just say, you know, I'm tired of this and I'm just going to give in.
Yep.
Because many Republicans, especially the RINOs, always give in.
Yeah,
but these,
true.
You know, he's one of these new, I say new Republicans who hold their ground and say, no, I'm holding by my principle. The constitutional agreements and everything else are what stand in America.
Yep, I agree with that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Right.
Yeah, you're right on. So could Biden be coming out with one of Obama's as a running mate, because the Washington Post shoved it out there as he was going to take Barack Obama as a running mate. I don't believe that. In fact, I would be hard pressed to believe that. But that's what the Washington Post was spinning out there, saying is the reason they're keeping it a super big secret because they don't want anyone to know. I actually think that that could he come out with Michelle Obama as his VP? Yeah. And was the book tour a sort of like, let's see how many people respond. Let's see what happens with this book tour. They really didn't sell the seats on that book tour that they said they sold. And I know I looked at the different venues and how many seats they actually sold. But it's kind of an interesting theory. I'm just going to say Obama ticket, just because you don't know which one they're actually talking about. Every time they push somebody forward is usually the other way a little bit. So that's why I'm going to guess on that one. I wanted to put that out there just because they're teasing with that, the Post, and that would it be past anyone's, thinking that that could happen? It won't matter anyway. I actually think that this whole 2-year nonsense actually just got Trump the presidency. It doesn't even matter who runs, I think, at this point. And you won't see a lot of people running against Trump because they know. They already know. And the people that, to me, it's pretty clear, actually. Now, we do need to work on the rest of the story, which is basically what we're allowing, what we're taking in. But there were a couple things that I just thought were so funny. The Babylon Bee put out an article, a stopped clock named CNN's most accurate reporter. A stopped clock. I thought that was funny. There have been some of the funniest things that I have seen this week where I have been laughing out loud going through my feed and reading some of these things. And it said, basically, this is a satire site. And it said, CNN has given a special award to the clock hanging in one of its studios, naming it the news station's most accurate reporter. The clock, which has been stuck showing the time to be 1:11 for the past 3 years, was found to surpass any other CNN reporter in how often it gets the news exactly right. And then they did a fake quote by Jeffrey Zucker. They said, the wall clock is an inspiration to us all. Now, it doesn't always get things right, but nobody's perfect. Still, twice a day, that clock absolutely nails the facts. That's way better than anyone else we have. So just to kind of let you know, there was also one more that I have to share with you because this was so funny before I move on this was from The Onion, and it was shocked Vladimir Putin slowly realizing he didn't conspire with the Trump campaign. And it has a fake quote coming from him. Who the hell was I working with then? And so I have to read this to you. This is so funny. And it's just a paragraph. It said, saying that he had been totally blindsided by the revelations that the recently released findings of the Mueller investigation, a shocked Vladimir Putin reportedly came to the realization Tuesday that he didn't conspire with Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign after all. What the heck? I worked so hard on this. If I wasn't colluding with the Trump campaign, who was I working with? Said the dumbfounded Russian president, growing increasingly angry as he scrolled through his email inbox and recounted his numerous attempts at covert communication with individuals who he thought were high-ranking Trump officials. Man, it seemed to be legit. I can't believe I let myself get conned like this. I was laughing under the table on that. So there were a couple of things like that. And I have to bring up, this one. All right. I'm disturbed. I'm so disturbed at this, I can't even tell you. But sometimes you get these stories where you go, that can't be true. It has to be like from a satire site, like I just read from. Nope. This is real. The men's cuddling group. I can't make it up. Men's cuddling group, you heard that right, aims to address their toxic masculinity. So, according to this, there's a therapeutic group designed to help men suffering from emotional or physical abuse. It's called the Men's Therapeutic Cuddle Group. And it is exactly what it sounds like. A two-year-old group, it's been going for 2 years, draws men from various backgrounds, okay? Sorry. At a time when traditional ideas of manhood are facing scrutiny and such terms as toxic masculinity, okay, are becoming more widely widely known through the Me Too movement, the group aims to provide new ways for men to express themselves. So often we're taught that to be an emotional stoic is the mark of manhood. So if you show any emotion weakness or emotional weakness or vulnerability, that's a failure to your title of a man. You don't think going to a cuddle group is? Mm. Anyway, it goes on to say that's not necessarily true. Of course, all men are allowed to show emotions, but men and women have different roles, right? And so this article was pointing out the nonsense nature of these groups. Why don't they just call this a date group? Because that's really what it is. But they're doing it and pushing it out there in the form that is feminism driving this? Are the feminists finally happy that men have to go join cuddle groups in order to feel validation, in order to feel like, I don't know why they're doing this, in order to feel like they can, they need to express all these emotions, and then this is the therapeutic way to do it? Are you going to be signing up for this anytime soon? The cuddle group? I'll tell you what. Nothing says, you know, be a man, like join a cuddle group. But here's the deal. Men and women are wired differently. We are so wired differently. And I actually think there's a lot of liberal women out there who think that this is a step in the right direction. They actually think that a men's therapeutic cuddle group, where they go and literally cuddle together, they have different stances that they've named, you know, against the wall cuddling, all kinds of different cuddling, that somehow, some way, this will, I don't know, is it going to just satisfy the feminist need to make sure men have a group so they can cry together? I'm not quite sure how this is supposed to work or who's being satisfied by this. And I can't believe that this is a very big group, but it's been going for 2 years. So that means something. It's been going for 2 years. It's kind of scary. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Sure.
You think that's a joke.
Well,
it is pretty funny. But mm-hmm. The problem, I think, is with the attack on boys right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really, really bad for all of these boys who the girls have been brainwashed. For example, there was a story that just came out about a secret, you know, list, basically a hot or not list. Didn't we have that in the 90s on the internet?
Sure,
that was one of the very first, you know, websites. It was a hot or not site.
Right.
Teenagers do this. Girls do it. Boys do it. Whatever.
Right.
So they came up with a list, and they put all these names down, and they ranked these girls. No, they didn't share it with anybody. They didn't go out and publicly humiliate people with it. And about a year later, the list surfaced because some jerky guy brought it to some girl's attention. You know, should they have made the list? No. But because that came out, then the girls rounded up the guy who had originated the list, set him in a classroom, and harassed him, basically. Sat there and brought up all of these reasons why it's so terrible. They didn't cite him specifically, but all of this gobbledygook from, you know, what my mom tells me and what all these people tell me and the catcalls that I get on the street, and just harassed him for 2 hours.
Oh, believe me.
But yet, but the girls didn't get harassed, but he got harassed.
Oh, it's sad.
Will he ever get married as an adult? Heck no.
No.
Never.
Probably
he
not.
Will never go near another woman.
And you know what? It is. It's so sickening. In fact, if this is the result, and if this is what people are having to do, I don't even know what to think anymore, because this is the most, this solution, this therapeutic men's cuddle room, is the most asinine thing I've seen in a long time. But yes, it's the assault on boys coming from all different angles. And you're exactly right on that. I totally agree on that. We are in a state of trouble with men and with, you know, boys can be boys. They should be. And men should be men. Man, I love your phone call. Thank you for that. I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate thanks. So just so you know, the men massage their partner's hands, shoulders, while the others stroke the person's beard. And then they close their eyes as the room fell into silence. And after 15 minutes, they switch to a new partner that can basically, I don't know, run their fingers through the other person's beard. And then they call what's called a puppy pile, and they all pile onto each other and laugh and chat and joke while being in the same vicinity, touching each other, you know, in the same vicinity, where they're all on top of each other and laughing. And I'm thinking, if this is the new thing, we're in a world of hurt. We have jumped the shark. We have completely jumped the shark. Feminism has driven the bus of a lot of this. And it was like Susan was saying, these women almost feel like they have invisible shields over them. They actually believe that they are so powerful that they're not susceptible to things that nature, you know. And here we have this side of it for men. Do men really feel like they need to go do this in order to feel good about themselves? I'm sad if this is the case. A men's therapeutic cuddle group. Man, we have to start telling our boys and telling our guys, my gosh, it's okay. Be a man. We want you to be. And isn't it funny? We had that discussion on Friday about the girls always sort of picking, you know, the man's man out of the room. You know, can you imagine a group of women walking into this cuddle room and wanting to date? No, because they actually don't really want this. They say they want it. That's what's so weird about it. They say they want this. Not in reality, though. That's not actually who they go for. They still want a man's man. They still want that. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. I'll take your calls.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
I believe. Oh, welcome back. Phone lines are open. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. Do not join a men's therapeutic cuddle group. I promise you, there is enough good women out there, who don't do it. Please, for the love of Pete, don't do it. I can't even imagine that's what we're doing. That literally is a thing. That's a thing. A men's cuddle group. All right, something's very, very wrong with that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I've heard about a group of men that are deciding, they call it the sexodus.
The sexodus?
And they are not having anything to do with women, because you figure it's a good business to get into, because you marry a man and then you have him pay you alimony, child support, and everything else. It's like, wow, what a game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's pretty sad.
It
and this group that cuddles, I would say, how do you know that the guy cuddling up to you isn't homosexual or something?
Well,
and I don't know.
I think it's more like a date group. I mean, that's what it sounds like, but under the guise of a therapeutic cuddle room. Do you know what I mean? Kind of strange. Anyway, very, very weird.
Well, there are ones that get into a crib and dress up as a baby, too. I mean, these people are just out of their mind.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Appreciate the call. It is kind of crazy, isn't it? You know, with this being said, we really do need to sort of really examine where feminism is taking us, because I do believe that this is a big part of the reason that this is now a thing, this therapeutic cuddle group. There's a reason, and feminism really has its roots in communism, actually. And feminism, this is funny. I had a conversation, you know, on the show I talk about the anti-feminist, you know, because I still can't believe I still can't believe that women don't know their value. And I had a guest on the air, like last Friday, I had some college professors, and they were talking about the fact that it was so controversial to say, hey, you know, these girls that are utilizing sex, they're basically giving it away. We have marriage rates that have gone down, and we're certainly seeing the fallout of this. And for some reason, the girls think it's giving themselves power, right? It's giving themselves power and how powerful they are. And that's all we ever hear is how powerful that they are. And when Susan was on when Susan came on at the beginning of the hour, she was talking about how women feel so powerful. They feel like they don't even need to look around them when they're alone traveling, that even though a guy could probably take them down, you know, most girls, that they still feel like they have this invisible shield, and how we're buying into all these lies. And so I had somebody, basically say to me, after talking about feminism and the deception that it delivers, and that we're basically taking men and we're making them less than, you know, in an effort to pull in more power for ourselves, as if that's something we should do, which is ridiculous. There was a comment to me, and it was this: I'll bet it's nice to sit and say those things, you know, as you stand on the shoulders of those who made it possible for you to become a successful female talk show host, you know, you should be thanking the feminists for who you are today. And this was my answer, because this point needs to be made over and over and over again now, because it's in such full bloom. The Me Too movement, feminism, all of this has just ratcheted it up a couple notches. So this was my response. It was, my being a talk show host or whatever job I find myself doing, or is not the reason that I'm a successful woman, nor is it my priority. It really isn't. It has nothing to do with my womanhood, my innate gifts and talents, my divine role that I've been entrusted with by God in this world. So as a wife and a mother, and even if you don't have children out there, and maybe that was something you didn't get to do, maybe you're single, but you still impact the lives of my family, my spouse, my children, and their children, and generations of children that are going to follow them. There's nothing more powerful than that. So my contribution in politics on a good day, if it's impactful or helpful, and I'm thankful I get to do it, but it's not the catalyst for my worth and my value as a woman. It's not my value. It's not where all my worth is. If I was suddenly no longer a talk show host tomorrow, somebody else would fill this slot, male or female. The fact that I'm female, it's just that. It's just part of who I am, but it isn't my valued measure of success in my career, right? No one can just simply replace the powerful or the divine role that I have in my family and for the generations to come. Feminism did not build me up as a woman. God did that. Feminism did not. So When I look at these feminists and where their desired result is and where they want to go with all this, and they want to demean men, and they want to really, I think, basically screw up the family is really what they're about. Because look at it this way. They can't insert any type of credit for your innate God-given abilities and talents as a woman, right? So what's the only thing that they can take credit for is to tell you that you're standing on the shoulders of someone that enabled your career. Okay. A career is something I do. It isn't more than that to me. And so women that get sucked into everything else is secondary, and your career is what puts you on the map. Your career is the only thing that lasts. Your career is the only thing anyone's going to ever remember you by. And the feminists are there to help you with that, because they can't help in all these other areas. They can't do anything about that, right? They're trying, but they can't really. And so the more that they make men obsolete, and the more that they're causing men to second guess themselves. I mean, what do I do on a date? What do I say on a date? I was talking to a couple of older single guys, and they were telling me that they had such a hard time dating because they didn't even know what to say anymore to women. They don't know what to say to them because they're so afraid to offend them, that anything is going to trigger this response. And I thought, how sad. How sad is that? Just be yourself. Well, we can't. We're just so afraid of like who we're going to offend. be yourself. Women want somebody that be who you are, be a guy. And one interesting note, and that was coming from them, was they still want that man's man. They say they want something different, but they want the man's man. And so the reason that I take apart feminism, I take apart who started it, I take apart its communist roots, I take apart that it was not a spontaneous movement by unfulfilled women. It was directed, it was created, it got the momentum because they wanted to create this and they wanted to disrupt the family. And what do? You tell women that they're not fulfilled. You tell women this. They didn't just spontaneously feel this way. You tell women this, and then the women go out and they want to seek fulfillment in anything other than their divine role. If I can affect a family through generations, isn't that powerful? Isn't it a quiet power? Of course it is. It's amazing. But they don't want you to look at that. They want you to think it's all about the job. And they also want you to think that if you make men weak, you're going to take their power and become more powerful. Didn't we have like a sci-fi movie about that? Anyway, welcome caller. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I want people to think about the whole reason that women really entered into the workplace mm-hmm. was to increase debt levels of the American consumers.
Yep.
You know, we were basically at a point that we had to have more debt mm-hmm. because that's a creation of inflation and that expands the money supply.
Yes.
And that's the whole reason for it. And today's whole scheme now is they see that they can indemnify,
right.
but women more than men, because most men now are opting out of the debt cycle mm-hmm. and more women are jumping into it.
Yep. Yep. We have such a need. We do. We have such a need for men to be men and women to be women. Doesn't mean you're less than, just means that you have innate abilities that are being denied.
Yeah, especially college debt. Women incur more mm-hmm. college debt than men do in mm-hmm. general.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
And then they get into fields that then don't necessarily pay as much mm-hmm. as the men do in the fields they get into.
Yep. Yep. I'm so with you on this. And why do you think they just passed through I'm trying to think of the legislation, to get us to dip into, Social Security, right? To dip into Social Security so that basically we can have the means to stay home, but then work, right? It's another thing to sell us on. No, your value is way away from the home, away from the home. Yeah, you can have a little time with that baby, but get out of the home. Out of the home. That's the message. It drives me nuts. I hate it.
Yes,
I hate it.
I agree. The message today is less about family and more about consumerism
yep.
and trying to drive people toward more debt cycle, because that's basically how you enslave a population and you perpetuate a cycle that keeps the elites in the position they're at.
I agree with you. Thank you so much. I love the phone call. It's so right on the money. And we have to talk to our youth. Oh my gosh. We have men going to cuddle rooms. I mean, this is pathetic. And I'm sure that this, you know, it's probably a little bit more of your metrosexual guy that's going to go do this. But the fact that that's the case, you wouldn't have seen this 40 years ago. So 30 years ago, sometimes progress, the word progress can sometimes be interchanged with a lot of other words that are not so appealing. And we get sucked into, well, this must be progress. We're making the men be emotional. We're making them do this. We're making them do that. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And the reason I say that is because we deny the innate gifts. We deny who we are innately to try and be something that we're not. That never works. It just never works. So when I saw this, I was laughing inside and at the same time horrified, thinking this cannot be our future. It truly can't. And these guys need to date more. They need to actually take a girl on a date. And the girls need to get off their phones when they're on a date and be a good date. The girls need to respect that the guy wants to open the door for them and treat them like a queen and stop being offended when a guy tries to be nice to them and pay for their dinner. teach them humility and teach them how to be a good date. I can't even tell you how many girls are on their cell phones now, you know, going to like a prom, going to like a dance. They're just disrespectful. And you have guys that are disrespectful at the same time. And they're all trying to learn because, you know, you're 16, 17, 18, whatever the age is. But are we teaching those skills? I feel like sometimes we're not. You know, we all grew up with those skills, but I don't think the youth's getting that. And they tend to want to hang out more than they ever want to date. There's a reason for dating. There's a reason for courting and doing all those kinds of things. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
So I think it also falls on us as moms to teach our boys as well.
Oh, yeah.
I have four boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. She's like a nightmare, but I wouldn't trade her for anything. But we have to teach if we want like women to be okay with them opening the doors. Yep. We still have to teach them to open the doors because I haven't been married forever. Mm-hmm. And when I first got divorced and was in the dating field, there weren't men that were opening doors. Yeah. I was like, wait, what is going on? I was taught that the man is supposed to open the door for you.
I agree.
You know? And so I got to which I try to teach my daughter the same thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it needs to start at home with the parents, because we were youth once too.
Yeah, you were. You know what? You're exactly right. And I thank you for that call. And I do agree with that. We've got to teach them. We've got to teach them how to do that again. I think somewhere along the lines we kind of lost our way on that. And I'm always thankful to those of you that are out there trying to teach your kids how to be respectful and how to be, you know, how to date and court and all of those things. We're seeing a marriage rate declining. We're seeing people not really interested in having families and not interested. What brings joy in life? You know, the look in any obituary, you're going to find maybe a couple of lines about the career, but what are you going to find mostly in an obituary? The extended family, the immediate family, the unit around that person, the relationships, right? It's all about that. It's not necessarily, we've been sold a box of rocks, we women, that all of our fulfillment is somewhere else and all of our value is somewhere else. And I feel so strongly in getting that message out that we need to realize that men, you are valued. We need to realize that women, you don't need to go seek after your value. You are valued. And as soon as you start just treating each other with respect and then observing those innate, you know, qualities in each other, it's interesting how it all just works together like it was divinely planned that way. Isn't that curious? Yeah. Why do we try and reinvent the wheel by changing, who we are at our core? Come on. We're better than that. And man, we could do a whole show just on the rules of dating and reteaching all of that, couldn't we? Maybe we should. Anyway, be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. Chris Ann, Uncle Milty, all kinds of stuff tomorrow. Already on the docket. We already have stuff piled up on the docket, so it'll be a good show. See you here tomorrow. Go to katedalyradio.com for the SoundClouds you can re-listen to or listen to for the first time today. Anyway, everybody, catch you tomorrow.